relax, but watching the dust shimmer, I can't help but feel it stripping open the very fabric of the universe, at least for this moment, in this room. In the center, on a stage lit as white as the sun, a man holds himself in perfect handstand. The muscles in his forearm ripple in micro-movements. Behind him, there are two billboard-sized screens capturing live projections of his every action. I watched the handstand in triplicate. Slowly, the man raises his chest up and drops his feet forward, arching his back until his heels rest on top of his head. At that moment, there's a circuit that has been completed, an O that travels from the back of his head up his legs and then around back down his spine to his head again. The 1,000-plus people in the audience watched this circuit in absolute stillness. The man holds the O of his body aloft on two arms. He smiles. Then the micro-movements in his arms stop. His breathing disappears. There is a moment that stretches just long enough for my internal instincts to doubt its plausibility, for the hairs on my arm to stand on end, for my senses to consider the unconscious question of whether it is the man who is frozen or the universe around him that has stopped. Then there is the whir from the burst shutter of a high-res camera, a twitch in the man's forearm, and suddenly we're back. The man returns from the posture the same way he went in. He stands up and bows. The room explodes in applause. The MC announces a time of 2:49. The audience begins to move. The announcement is repeated for a video camera live broadcasting the event to the world. My eyes adjust to the glare. In the front row, Bikram Chowdhury, multimillionaire founder of Bikram Yoga, is snapping his fingers, calling for a Coke. He's making noises like he's coaxing a monkey with food. Hey, ball one, come here, come on, come, ball one, come. When no one scurries up to him, he snorts and looks over his shoulder. He leans into the slender woman sitting next to him, as if to caucus with her about his dilemma, but says nothing. Finally, he stands, cutting into the spotlight, and turns around, asking the entire room to go find Isak for him. There is a woman crouching, whose face I know well, but whose name I can't remember, who resumes massaging Bikram's thigh when he sits back down. There is his wife, Rajashri, exactly 8 seats away from him. There is Hector, and there is Afton. There is the 83-year-old Emmy Cleaves, walking back to her front row seat in a positively slinky dress. She sits, hair pinned back, shoulders in perfect posture, the grand dame of the entire event. There is Sarah Bond and her daughter crouched in the back playing patty cake. There is even Courtney Mace somewhere, invisible, just like she wants to be. This is the National Yoga Asana Championship semifinal round. In a moment, I will go on stage to perform a 3-minute routine I've spent the last 3 years learning. My goal is to approximate that man in his handstand, his control, his poise. I want to demonstrate my focus to the room. I want to make at least one hair on one arm stand on end. I will be judged like an Olympic gymnast according to the physical nature of the postures, or asanas, I perform. Points will be awarded based on the difficulty of the pose in question and the depth and skill with which I demonstrate it. There will be other things on display as well, less measurable, but certainly real. The room is cold, but my armpits are leaking wildly. There's an actual stream of sweat dribbling down my sides. It feels very primitive and glandular, like no sweat I've ever experienced before. It is as if someone turned an internal dial to a slow trickle. I consider wiping the sweat from my torso, but decide against it, for fear of getting my hand slippery, too. I need my grip. Then all of a sudden, way too soon, my name is called. Mary Jarvis is standing next to me, exactly where I need her to be. I grab her hand impulsively and kiss it, almost greedily, like I was trying to eat it. I tell myself my only goal is to share how happy I am to be in here. I tell myself the only thing Courtney Mace thinks about when she demonstrates is love. Mary wriggles her hand back out of my grasp. Then she uses it to sort of push me out there. As I walk towards the stage, the room collapses. My legs move, but my mind goes blank. Stepping up into the glare, skin sweaty, heart clunking wildly in my chest, and quite possibly the most earnest, hopeful moment of my life to date, I realize that if anything in this room has exploded, it's me. Part 1. It never gets